Well, let's begin. And as always, we'll just start with a minute of silence as the sort of threshold to come into our gathering together from whatever busy lives have brought us here. Welcome, everyone. So lovely to be in your presence. It's been a little bit over a year since all of our lives changed in such dramatic ways. And it was a little bit over a year when, for most of us, the lockdowns really started. And I really wanted today to simply take note of that. And I'm going to do something a little bit different today than I have in the past, where I usually talk for a few minutes in the beginning. I want most of the introductory time to go to share with you a video that a friend of Hal's and mine, Abraham de Alba, from Mexico, he's a third or fourth generation rancher and environmental scientist at Aguas Calientes, but he shared this video with us of a woman who lives in a remote part of the Cape Province in South Africa. And we both found it lovely. I'd like to share it with you. And to frame it, I'd like to just introduce the idea of interbeing. And interbeing is a word that was coined by Thich Nhat Hanh, the Vietnamese Buddhist monk, to refer to the degree to which we are all connected to everything else, to everyone else, but actually everything else on earth. And let me just read you from his book, The Art of Living, a couple paragraphs as he spoke about this term, interbeing. About 30 years ago, I was looking for an English word to describe our deep interconnection with everything else. I liked the word togetherness, but I finally came up with the word interbeing. The verb to be can be misleading because we cannot be by ourselves alone. To be is always to interbe. To interbe and the action of interbeing reflects reality more accurately. We inter-are with one another and with all life. Thich Nhat Hanh continues, there is a biologist named Lewis Thomas whose work I appreciate very much. He describes how our human bodies are shared, rented, and occupied by countless other tiny organisms without whom we couldn't move a muscle, drum a finger, or think a thought. Our body is a community. And the trillions of non-human cells in our body are even more numerous than the human cells. Without them, we could not be here in this moment. Without them, we wouldn't be able to think, to feel, or to speak. There are, Lewis Thomas says, no solitary beings. The whole planet is one giant, living, breathing cell with all its working parts linked in symbiosis. So there is the Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh talking about the American scientist, quoting the American scientist Lewis Thomas. And of course, these ideas are deep in what we know in our hearts about the world, and they're deep in all the wisdom traditions of the world. I think of that beautiful line in Ecclesiastes, "Surely the fate of human beings is like that of the animals. The same fate awaits them both. As one dies, so dies the other. All have the same breath." So with that introduction, I want to share this video with you. And this is a woman named Kathy Winters on the Cape Province in South Africa, very remote part, sort of an outback woman, and who's just really speaking from the deep wisdom of lived experience and caring. take a little meditation together about interbeing, to just really be present with each other and with our connections to each other and to the world beyond. So find your posture, find a posture that feels comfortable, where you feel supported in your chair, or if you're sitting on the floor, or even lying down. Take a couple deep breaths and just allow yourself to fully take in oxygen, fully let it go. Allow all the tensions of the day to just release with the exhale. Gently scan your body. Anywhere you're feeling tension, just breathe into that. Invite yourself to relax in your neck, in your shoulders, wherever you might be holding tension. Allow yourself to be aware of your connection with the earth, with your feet as they touch the floor, your seat as it's in the chair, with what is supporting the floor, the foundation of your house, the earth beneath. I'd like to invite you to visit, to take yourself in your imagination to a place in nature that you love. This may be your secret place as a child, or some place you visit every day on your walk, some place you visited once, but remember acutely. Some place you feel safe, comfortable, filled with awe. Become aware in this place. It's becoming more vivid in your imagination. Become aware of the smell of the air and of the earth. Feel the air on your skin. Become aware of whatever sounds are present, the breeze, the call of a bird. Allow a stream to flow through this place. Or maybe if you've taken yourself to the ocean, hear the waves as they gently wash on shore and back again. If you're at the beach, imagine a little rivulet of water, a stream coming down from the hills to rejoin its mother ocean. Wherever you are, let yourself put your hand in that clear water. Feel your fingers in that water. Feel that water in yourself. Know that up to 50% of your body is made up of water. As you feel this water, as you hear this water, know that this water is part of a cycle that has existed for millions of years. The water that's in the stream by our side, that's in the glass we drank this morning, that water existed when the dinosaurs bent down to drink. Allow yourself to feel that connection to the ages. We think of ourselves as being a few decades old, but these bodies of ours, made up of so much water, they're eons old, they're unfathomably old. They're connected to the past, they're connected to the future. All the wisdom of the world that has ever existed or that will exist is flowing through us now. As you are ready, let your attention come to your breath. Feel the inhale of breath. Notice how it feels in your nostrils, how it fills your lungs, even your belly. Notice how it leaves your body in the exhale, the rise and fall of your lungs, intake and outflow of breath. This too is a cycle that has existed for hundreds of millions of years. We take in oxygen, which is the gift of the plants to us. We exhale carbon dioxide, which is a gift from us to the plants. Acknowledge this cycle of gift, of taking and receiving and giving back. When you breathe in, you might whisper to yourself, "Thank you." When you breathe out, you might say, "You're welcome." Each breath, you take in what you need, you release what you don't. Replenish, release. Replenish, release. As we think about these cycles of oxygen and CO2, perhaps you feel a level of concern, of unease, as we know this cycle is out of balance through deforestation, fossil fuels. We're putting way more carbon dioxide in the air than we're able to breathe out of it. Allow yourself to notice your own heart around this concern, to open your heart, to trust that this concern is a healing agent all of its own. Breathe in your concern. Breathe out your desire for restoration. Know that the calm you feel, the concern of your heart ripples out. Like when a tiny pebble is thrown into quiet water, it ripples out. A small gesture on your part models a small gesture on someone else's part, and then another, and then another. Our acts, great and small, do make a difference. Perhaps you might name an intent to yourself to add one small act to what you already are doing. Maybe it's turning out the light 10 minutes early tonight and just sitting in the quiet darkness with gratitude for the beautiful world. Trust that the love that you feel for others, that you feel for the earth, is felt by others, is felt by the earth, is a healing quantity. As you breathe in this knowledge, breathe out this hope for the world, allow yourself to observe yourself as if from above. Feel that observation growing higher and wider till you can see the whole landscape you inhabit. You can see the far horizon. You're rising into a low orbit of the world and high orbit of the world. You're seeing the world like that blue marble that the Apollo 8 astronauts saw. You're feeling the connection of all things, great and small. Begin to come back to yourself with that beauty and that love. And know this knowledge is carried in even the smallest thing that we touch every day. I'll end with a few more words of Thich Nhat Hanh. And you might imagine as you listen to this that you're holding a piece of paper in your hand. Perhaps you even have a piece of paper at hand, next to your chair, on your desk. You might touch it now, or just imagine it. If you are a poet, you will see clearly that there is a cloud floating in this sheet of paper. Without a cloud, there will be no rain. Without rain, the trees cannot grow. And without trees, we cannot make paper. The cloud is essential for the paper to exist. If the cloud is not here, the sheet of paper cannot be here either. So we can say that the cloud and the paper inter are. If we look into this sheet of paper even more deeply, we can see the sunshine in it. If the sunshine is not there, the forest cannot grow. In fact, nothing can grow. Even we cannot grow without sunshine. And so we know that the sunshine is also in this sheet of paper. The paper and the sunshine inter are. And if we continue to look, we can see the logger who cut the tree and brought it to the mill to be transformed into paper. And we can see the wheat. We know that the logger cannot exist without his daily bread, and therefore the wheat that became his bread is also in this sheet of paper. And the logger's father and mother are in it too. When we look in this way, we see that without all of these things, this sheet of paper cannot exist. How lovely to go traveling with all of you. If you need to go, thank you so much for coming. If you can stay a few more minutes, we might just have a few minutes of discussion. I'd be very interested to know what your thoughts are, what your experience with this today was.
I came a few minutes late because my writing class changed their time from 11 to 1 on Wednesdays. It must be the time of the week everybody wants to meditate or pause or do something different. But I don't want to keep missing this. I have because of that, and I thought today I could just get here on time and jump in. So I hope that wasn't disturbing. And so great to be back and be with you again. Thank you.
That wasn't disturbing. And Mary Beth, it's lovely to see you. I'm so glad you're here.
Okay.
I was gonna mention that I just watched, I'm a late bloomer on this, but The Biggest Little Farm. And I don't know if you've all seen that documentary or not about the couple that built a beautiful organic farm that included all kinds of animals and fruit trees. And they had a beautiful mentor that helped them. And what you spoke to today, Teresa, I just felt like that must have been in their hearts when they were building their farm. And it just made me feel so appreciative that in these dark days of ugly trials and behavior and just this animosity that seems to prevail, that it really is being, I think, starting to become superseded by a more positive energy from all types of sources. I think we're, you know, we want to heal, we want to be connected, we want to do the right thing, and I just have a sense that it's happening. Despite all the continued bad behavior on many folks, I choose to try to find the positive. And today is your words, you know, watching this little documentary or important documentary, watching Nomadland, you know, things like that are really telling just some amazing stories of people on a quest for better.
Thank you, Sandy, on a quest for those to act in knowledge of that inner being. This movie that Sandy mentioned, The Biggest Little Farm, is really wonderful if you haven't known about it. I think it's pretty widely available now. It may even be available.
It's on Hulu right now.
And it might also be even on YouTube.
Oh, good. Yeah.
It's about a restorative farm in California, and restorative agriculture is such a movement now, and it's just one of the most encouraging things. And there really are people who are spreading the word of ways that this can actually be at scale to support the food needs of the world or large parts of the world. When Hal and I get really discouraged, we go to a restorative agriculture conference, and it just gives us a whole new take on life.
Yeah, and it's sweet to see that it's the young, you know, young people that are connected to this, that are making things happen, that are brave and can speak out and about this, you know, need to do things right, you know, before it's too late. Thank you for this day.
The woman talking about our collective grief and the way our hearts are opened by grief makes me think about the Book of Delights and how often when I finish a chapter, I'm not sure whether I should weep or laugh. So I think about in my own life how grief is often a path into joy in some kind of strange way. And that's what today's meditation and the movie made me think about.
Thank you, Carol. You know, I don't think I had even articulated it, but hearing you say that, I think it was, you know, right now it feels a lot of us are getting vaccinated and that things can open up a bit more. And I think my instinct was, you know, as that's happening, the grief that has been part of this past year that I think we've kept, have often had to keep tamped down is under there. And it's a lovely time to think about acknowledging that and with both the joy and the sorrow that is a part of the human experience. Thank you for saying that so beautifully.
I'd like to just two things. One, in this context of the little farm, also to mention the Kavira Coalition in the Southwest, which is totally devoted to restoring the earth, the health of the earth, and the health of communities who live with the earth. So it's there's a lot of wonderful things going on there. But also thank you so much, Teresa. The meditation was so beautifully guided, and being with the water was just truly wonderful, the way you took us through it. Thank you.
Oops, Maureen, I think you're talking, but you're still muted. You're still muted. Let's see. Sometimes I can unmute people. I can't. Yep, I can't. Well, we will read your body language and appreciate your heartfelt presence. Well, I think we can hear you. Are you talking? No, we can't hear you.
She's not talking.
Okay. Well, I just want to thank all of you for coming today and making this such a lovely community of practice.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa. It was so refreshing. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. It's nice to see you all.
Nice to see you. Be safe. Bye. Be well.